There's a number of proposals out there recently in Albany from the governor, the legislature. Is there one that strikes your attention and one you favor over the others?
Well, I think there are two different areas that we do need to deal with, and there are proposals relating to both of them. The first is ensuring that we have prosecutors that are empowered to go after public corruption, and the governor last week introduced some bills that help me and district attorneys, anyone making it easier to prosecute bribery, for example. That's important. It's important to have effective enforcement. But the other area, and this was really on display yesterday when the Assembly Speaker released his plan, is to reform our electoral system, because the idea of our electoral democracy is not that you elect someone and then the only thing they have to worry about is a prosecutor sniffing around. The great check on abuses of power by public officials in the United States is supposed to be competitive elections. And it is clear that in New York, in all too many cases, we really do not have competitive elections, that people get elected and through a combination of gerrymandering and the lack of a public financing system, there's really a lot of them run for re-election without meaningful opposition over and over again. And the proposal by Shelley Silver in the Assembly, and it's paralleled by some proposals in the Senate as well, would provide for campaign finance reform, provide for public financing with the matching funds, a system similar to the one in New York City, that at least ensures that people get a competitive election. Under the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United, we can't stop private interests from spending money in elections. So we can't lower the ceiling on what people might spend, but we can raise the floor to make sure that you at least have someone to scrutinize your record, challenge you in front of the public, and that you have to defend yourself every 2 years in the case of the state legislature or 4 years in other cases. I think it's very important to work on both. I favor strengthening the hand of prosecutors, including my office, and I favor a public financing system and reform of our campaign finance laws. I think it's important to proceed on both tracks, and I think we should be able to make progress on both before this legislative session finishes in June.
How would a campaign finance reform bill stop a lawmaker, though, from funneling state funds to a not-for-profit set up in his or her own district, and then you find out it's been staffed with his family and friends and really isn't doing what it was set up to do?
Well, we've just finished a case that essentially fits that exact description in my office recently. You do need, I'm not saying that this is a replacement for prosecutors, and I've been working with New York State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, and we have a joint executive order that has enabled us to investigate exactly those sorts of schemes. But, you know, the voters aren't stupid, and if you are not doing your job well, and if you're really just doing things to benefit your friends and family at the expense of the broader public, nothing like an opponent in a competitive election to raise these questions. In fact, often what we find is that things that come out in the course of electoral campaigns sometimes, very often, are things that lead to prosecutions. The idea is that you should have to defend your record. You should have to defend your record and get challenged and have a campaign, and the public should have a right to know what you're doing and to scrutinize it. And that is, in the design of our American democracy, supposed to be a great check on the great check on abuse of power by public officials. You don't really want to have elected officials' sole regulation be by prosecutors. And I'm a believer in enforcing the law. I've indicted one state legislator for a pattern of practice of conduct exactly fitting in with your description. And when I was in the state Senate, before I was even the attorney general, I chaired the first committee in modern history that expelled a corrupt state senator. But I assure you, public officials will think twice before engaging in acts of misconduct. If they know they're going to have to stand for re-election, they're going to be more careful. The one thing we know about public officials is these guys don't want to lose their seats. And one thing we know about New York system is right now we don't have enough competitive elections.
You are the state's chief law enforcement officer as attorney general. What should your role be in all of this?
Well, we do seek to enforce the law. We do seek to work with our colleagues in government. Some of the proposals that are on the table now would expand our jurisdiction so that we can have general jurisdiction over public integrity matters, which we support and have proposed in the past, and the governor supported this when he ran for governor as well in 2010. So I'm hopeful that that will come out of this process. But I think the other part of it has to be competitive elections. I want to be able to enforce the election law and the campaign finance law. But if you look at the federal system, those of us that have dealt with that, and you look at New York City's campaign finance board, it's clear that the State Board of Elections is far and away the weakest, and by design. I mean, I think it's been kept as a toothless tiger, and it's time to change that. So in addition to our office enforcing the law and district attorneys enforcing the law and U.S. attorneys enforcing the law, I think we need to add some regulations with teeth, provide for campaign finance reform and public financing before this session's out. So I favor proceeding on both tracks.
Switching over to guns for just a moment, what's your reaction to the vote by the U.S. Senate yesterday?
It's really incomprehensible how they could have failed to move forward on something as simple as background checks. There were several different votes in the Senate, but the one that really strikes me as just disgraceful and difficult to explain is their refusal to vote for background checks before guns are sold. It is not. This was a bill that would simply say for all commercial sales of firearms at gun shows and over the internet, you have to check before you sell the gun to make sure someone does not have a criminal record or serious mental health issues. And I don't know anyone, including gun owners and folks who operate gun shows in New York State, who doesn't favor background checks. I've actually did an undercover sting of gun shows a few years ago and determined that background checks were not being conducted in places where they were supposed to be. And we confronted the gun show operators with this, and to their credit, New York State's gun show operators have been signing on to a model set of procedures because they all agree that they want background checks. They want to make sure that at their gun shows, there's no one selling a gun to someone who can't pass a background check. And we now have well over 80% of the shows in New York signed up. Most of them did this voluntarily. We only busted 6 gun shows. We now have close to 30 operators signed up. So I will tell you, just based on my experience, most of the NRA members I know favor background checks. Most of the people who are involved in the gun business favor background checks. So why the United States Senate can't get something done that over 90% of the American people, I think, agree with is just incomprehensible. It represents a breakdown in our government, frankly.
The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association this week filed another legal challenge to the New York gun law. They're seeking an injunction. More challenges will likely be coming in the coming months. How strong do you think this law is against challenge? And do you think one of these challenges will eventually get through and knock down this law, either partially or in its entirety?
No, and I can't pretend to be a neutral observer here. I'm as the state attorney general, I'm defending the SAFE Act, and I supported it. I'm very proud of the fact that our legislature and our governor responded, and we're one of the states, along with Maryland, Colorado, and Connecticut, that took very strong action in the wake of the massacre at Newtown. But I don't think the law is vulnerable. I think that there have been some tweaks to it. There may be more tweaks to it just to make it easier in operation. But I do not think there's any constitutional defect in this law. I think that we will prevail against any and all challenges. This is a law that really provides for common sense solutions to problems. I think that there may be some more clarifications as we go ahead, but none of it relates to the constitutionality of the law. I think that we will win in all these cases.
When you talk about tweaks, the Albany Police Officers Union has written to state officials asking the SAFE Act to be repealed. I believe they're saying that it's hard for them to get ammunition now for their practice firing ranges. Is this one of the problems, the unexpected problems that have cropped up? And what do you think of that complaint?
Well, I'm not familiar with this particular set of issues. There is no reason that the SAFE Act should prevent anyone who's, you know, a lawful gun owner, certainly people who want to go target shoot at a range or have guns for protection or hunt, from getting ammunition. It's just, you know, there may be folks who are trying to try and raise the price or something like that, but no, there's no reason that the SAFE Act should prevent anyone from being able to get ammunition or anyone being able to get, a firearm for hunting or for protection. It does ban some military-style weapons that people really don't need for either of those purposes. It does put some checks on ammunition sales so that you can't buy unlimited amounts of ammunition without us knowing who you are. But all of it's constitutional and all of it's pretty much common sense. I think that as people get used to it, and the state police are issuing regulations now to implement it, I think everyone's going to settle down and realize that this is not really a problem for any lawful gun owner. And I've talked to a lot of gun owners about this. There's some confusion about what the gun, what the law does, but that happens whenever you have fundamental change. I mean, my office is still holding forums trying to explain the Affordable Care Act to people because they're confused about their health care. So you always go through transitions like this, but I think the law is a strong law and a good law, and a law that ultimately is going to work and keep New York a safer place.
Back to the corruption just very briefly. The U.S. Attorney for the Southern District said the problem in Albany was pervasive. You were in the legislature. You're now the Attorney General. Is pervasive too strong a word, or is it just a few bad apples?
Well, I think there is a permissive atmosphere in Albany. I think that that is pervasive. And look, I'm a believer in government as a force for good. I believe the overwhelming majority of the people in public service are there for good reasons. But there does tend to be a sort of turn a blind eye attitude at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level. And as a Democrat, as someone who believes in government as a force for good, my message to my fellow Democrats is, you know, if we're going to tell people the public sector is a force for good, we've got to be the harshest critics of waste, fraud, and corruption in the public sector. And that's why I led the effort to set up the committee and then chaired it to expel Senator Hiram Montserrat. And that's why I've entered into unprecedented joint executive orders with the New York State Comptroller's Office so we can better prosecute public corruption as in the Attorney General's Office. I'm a strong believer in one set of rules for everyone and in letting the public know that the people who are there elect are there to serve them. And they're not there for their own advantage, and they're not there to benefit themselves and their friends. So I think that most people in public life are there for the right reasons. I do think we have to tighten up the atmosphere in which people tolerate misconduct on the part of others. That's something that I think is a big mistake, and I think we're well on the way to dealing with it. I do not believe that the prosecutions that my office and others are bringing now and the cases we're bringing are reflective an increase in the level of corruption. I think they reflect the fact that you have more prosecutors now being tougher on these cases and less willing to turn a blind eye than we've ever had. So I'm looking forward to continuing to work with my colleagues in law enforcement and to deliver the message that New Yorkers have the government that they deserve and people who are there to serve the public interest, not their own.